My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. General McInerney rose to the number 3 position in the Air Force during his distinguished career in uniform, serving at one time as Assistant Vice Chief of Staff. He also served as Vice Commander of U.S. Air Forces Europe. In the wake of multiple terrorist attacks, there is much discussion of what it will take to defeat ISIS. The effort will obviously take on many dimensions, but for the next few minutes, we'll be focusing on the military dimension. And General, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, let's start with the strategy as it currently exists from the American perspective. The president made a lot of headlines this week by saying essentially that the strategy is going to work. It's the right strategy for the long term, and it doesn't need really any sort of adjusting. He said it might need intensification at various times. What do you make of the president's approach?
Well, he doesn't have a strategy, and that's why 16 months after we started the air campaign, we're still at it. Remember, against Desert Storm with 600,000 troops, Saddam Hussein's forces, we had a 43-day air campaign and 100-hour ground campaign. I don't understand what the president's strategy is.
Sir, you and I have talked about this on a number of occasions, and you have said that air power could do a tremendous amount of damage against ISIS. Talk a little bit about what type of campaign will be necessary to do the most damage from the air.
I think we have to have an air campaign that takes out all the lines of communication, meaning the highways, so the highway 47 from Raqqa, the capital in Syria of ISIS, to Mosul. Nothing should move on that. Highway 1 from Mosul down to Baghdad, nothing should move on that. In other words, you start starving out everybody in Raqqa and in Mosul. The fact is, the lines of communication. Then number 2, you want to get their command and control, headquarters, et cetera, which we know where they are. Number 3, we want to take out the oil and petroleum and the vehicles that ship the oil. And so when you look at those 3 key things, and then you start squeezing down on them and take out all their 60 training camps, take those 60 training camps out, hit them, and all of a sudden you see that their ability to move, to execute, to do anything, to even provide as, quote, the caliphate, they can't protect their own people. So we've done this before. We've been very successful on it. And I think it's only reasonable that we do that and do it now and do it quickly. 500 sorties a day, we could do that. If we need to go up to 1,000, we could do that.
General, in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, the French have started to launch sorties that we're being told are pretty extensive and devastating. Are they setting a good template here, or is their impact being overblown at this point?
No. They're flying 10 sorties a day. That's not the template for anything. I wish it were. They're doing better than we are. But the fact is we need a far more intense air campaign, between 500 and 1,000 sorties a day, and be very aggressive at it, take the handcuffs off the rules of engagement, and hit the target array, the target sets that I just mentioned to you. So that will do it.
General, you mentioned rules of engagement. There's one thing that I've heard that I believe both French and U.S. pilots are doing, and that's dropping leaflets warning people where airstrikes might be coming. Obviously, there are some civilians in these areas. So is that responsible, or is that tipping our hand to the enemy?
Well, I think it's tipping our hand to the enemy. I'm not for this good-natured stuff. The fact is the people living under the caliphate have, quote, accepted them, and I think then they must pay the price. And we need to do it much quicker. You see, our humane rules of engagement are creating inhumane results, i.e., you've got 300,000 people that are almost now dead, killed, or wounded in Syria. You look at what's happened in Iraq. We just are dragging something out and making it agonizing. And I don't know what the president's purpose is. He just has not exhibited any desire to take ISIS out. And so that's why we're where we are after 16 months. We started this in August of 2014.
General, obviously the main thrust of the ISIS headquarters is in Syria, and it's bled over into Iraq, but it's got strongholds also in Libya and Afghanistan and some other places around the world. Do you believe a coordinated air campaign with the same type of ferocity is required in those areas as well?
Well, I think that we may have to, but let's remember the reason why it has spread out, it's metastasizing, is because it has been so successful. Successful mean no one has stopped them. I'm looking at a map right now of the city of Raqqa and the headquarters, the ISIS main headquarters, the Islamic court, and all these buildings are standing. Why? The fact is we are not executing air power, and we are not trying to destroy ISIS. The president talks about degrade and destroy. No American president in our history has ever said, degrade the enemy, then destroy him. It's always destroy them. So I don't know his rationale, but I think that when you consider the Russian airliner that they took down, the attack on Beirut, then the attack on Paris, and they were also involved with the planning in the attack on the train from Brussels to Paris, we find out, they are expanding significantly globally. We must eliminate ISIS and the caliphate and do it quickly and have the ground forces be Kurds, Iraqis. I think we've got to get the Jordanians and other Arab states in, because people must understand, only the Arabs, the Muslims, can destroy this radical Islamic ideology. We are infidels. They won't accept that. But if Muslims destroy it, then, and they'll have to do that, and they'll have to justify why this is such a failed ideology. And when you have a president who talks about violent extremists, VE, violent extremists, I know not the ideology of violent extremism, but I know the ideology of radical Islam. It's the Quran, it's the Hadith, the sayings of the Prophet, and it's Sharia law. Those are their rules of engagement, and until we understand that, we'll not defeat this enemy. They must defeat it themselves. Where are the fatwas from Mecca and Medina chastising people for killing Westerners?
Last topic, General. This one has less to do with military tactics, but it's an issue that's obviously been in the headlines a lot the past few days. What do you believe is the right policy when it comes to Syrian refugees?
I do not think we ought to bring any in until we vet them. We went from 1924 to 1965, I think it was, in which no immigrants came to the United States. The reason I think it's important that we vet them properly is we have an assimilation problem in the United States. It's very important that we do that properly. Saudi Arabia and the Middle East countries ought to be taking them over there. They have the space for them. They have a whole host of things. Then they can recycle them back into Syria when this is resolved. So that's why I don't think that we need to take them here.
General, that'll have to be the last word for now. As always, sir, thank you very much for your time with us.
Good. Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. He rose to the number three position in the Air Force, which is Assistant Vice Chief of Staff. He also served as Vice Commander of U.S. Air Forces Europe. He's a Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.